Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. Today, in your word, if you could please turn to Genesis chapter 37. We're not going to get there right yet, but we're going to get there. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 37, and in a little bit further on, we're going to be in Genesis 45. Today, we're talking about something very important. As Pastor Brian was saying, we're in a new message series. How does Jesus show us how to live in a way that we can impact those around us with the gospel? In this message series, we're going to discover four keys to unlocking our influence, because he's influencing us in our daily life, in the community, in the region that we live in. Last month, we talked about homes, families, getting whole, being transformed. But that's not all that there is. We transform the home. We have thriving homes so we can transform the city. This is personal. And it's bam to the world. In your home, when you thrived, it's a personal level. I've called upon the name of Jesus. He saved me, and I'm being transformed from the inside out so I can transform and help my wife or help my husband, if you know how that goes, if you're a wife, so you can help transform your family and your kids. So when you get a transformation and your home is thriving, you can go out into the world and help the world thrive and be transformed. This is a powerful key verse for our series, and it's a one that's very recognizable, and it's one that's very powerful, and I hope you guys remember it, so when you get asked next week what our series verse is, you'll be like, yes, I got this. You know what our series verse is today? Matthew 5, 14, and 15. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. We transform our city. How do we do this? Because our homes are thriving, because we're thriving personally. Thriving homes transform cities. You are the light of the world. And I highlighted this, one of the most important parts on this board, this period right here. This period. Why would I say that? Why would I say this is an important part? Because when you get born again, you are the light of the world, period. It's not you are the light of the Lord if, you are the light of the world because, you are the light of the world, period. That is who you are. If you are born again, you are the light of the world. Ooh. The light there in the Greek is phousi. It means to shine or to make manifest. You are the light of the world. You are to shine. You are to make manifest in this world. Just like a city on a hill cannot be hidden, your light cannot be hidden. Just like when a lamp is put out there, you don't put it under a basket. You put it on a lampstand so all the people can see the light. Today's message and what I have to talk to you today about is one of the baskets that can sometimes be put on top of us and hide our light. something that can dim our light, even though we are the light of the world. And it's a serious thing, and you know me, I want to be funny, and I want people to be drawn closer to the Lord because they have joy in their hearts, and they're happy, and they just want to be in His presence because they want to experience the good things of the Lord, and I love that. And we're going to do that today, but what I have to talk about is a very serious thing. It's sometimes very difficult to talk about. Today, I'm going to be talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness. The title of today's message, if you want to write it down, is A Forgiveness That Reunited a Family and Saved a Nation. The story of Joseph. I got this a few weeks ago, and I thought I would be giving it for the family. And I kind of am. I'm kind of bridging the line between the two. But this is more apropos for what we have today, going out into the world and being the light. And our key verse for today is Genesis 45, 7, where it says, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by great deliverance. And you're like, oh man, what does that have to do with forgiveness? We'll get there. We'll see. Forgiveness. Why is forgiveness so important in our families and in the people around us and in your life? Because it not only frees you when you forgive, it helps your family be free so you can impact the world for Christ. So you can impact the world for Jesus. I was also thinking about this too. Family month may be over, but it never really is done. We are not perfect. We could always use some improvement. We're going from glory to glory, right, Pastor Tom? We're going from glory to glory. In all aspects of our lives, we are going from glory to glory in the Lord. We are growing so we can not only impact our family, we are growing so we can impact the world for Christ. I want you guys to understand that. You were made for a purpose. There is a purpose why He called you out of the world and called you to be who you are. It's to impact the world. But there are things that impact us that keep us from impacting the world. And one of the biggest things that is unforgiveness. But He wants you to get past that so you can impact the world because you have a calling. And you have that calling no matter what has happened to you. I'll let that sit for a second. I'm going to unpack that a little bit more. We grow to impact not only families, but the city and the world we live in. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, Him, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Do you get what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I mean? It's like, I used to have this problem, but God got me over it. So now I'm going from a good thing to a great thing. I'm going from a great thing to an awesome thing. I'm growing in Him. I'm growing. I'm going from glory to glory. It's great God got us out of the pit. And churches like to say, man, get saved. Get out of the pit. Get out of the mire. But it's like we got to start celebrating people going from good things, getting out of the mire and walking around, having good families to great families, having stuff where we're becoming awesome husbands and awesome fathers and awesome wives and awesome mothers and, you know, and being awesome kids and being awesome things, because we're going from glory to glory. We are being transformed. And that transformation for our thriving homes does not quit with just 1 month. It keeps on going. You got to keep on growing. Why? Because you got to infect the city so that they too can have thriving homes, be born again, and transform the city that you live in.
Amen.
Amen. We're going from glory to glory. Forgiveness towards those in our family who have hurt us brings healing and wholeness to our relationships. This makes our families healthy and can help us grow in the Lord Jesus. This also helps us put us in positions to change the world for the Lord. If our families are growing in the Lord, then we can go out and impact the world for Jesus. Forgiveness frees you so you can impact the world. I have been excited about this message for a while, but I've also been thinking about it for a while as well. And when I work during the week, when I'm doing my thing, I can preach to myself quite often, and the thing's always going through my mind. The thing that makes talking about forgiveness difficult to talk about is because sometimes the magnitude of what has happened to somebody is so great. I don't need to talk to you about forgiveness because somebody, you know, cut you off in the street or told you off and things. That stuff just goes without saying. I'm talking about forgiveness when somebody's really hurt you. I'm not talking about the small stuff, though you need to forgive them of that, and sometimes that's the hookup on somebody. I'm talking about the forgiveness for somebody who's really hurt you. Why is that so important? Because if you don't forgive, it can affect the way others treat you. It can affect your trust in God. It can affect your call. Your call is there, but whether you walk in your call can be affected because you don't forgive. And when I talk about this, it's understandable why you don't forgive when I know your story. I may not know all of your stories, but sometimes the hurt and the thing that happened is so tremendous, is so bad, that others around you know your story and they, like, I don't expect them to forgive him for what they did to him. But Jesus. And see, this is antithetical to being hurt in the physical. The more you hurt in the physical, the more people see you need a healing and they want to rush and give it to you. Like, if somebody was walking through here and they tripped and their arm got snapped all up, we would say, you need to go to the hospital right away. We wouldn't say, man, that's really bad. I don't want to talk to you about it because it could offend you. And then somebody would come up to me and they go, did you talk to him about that? You're going to offend him. That would never happen. That seems absurd. The more you hurt in the physical, the quicker you need to get healed, the quicker you need to get help. But when you get hurt in the heart, the more it's offensive to you to get help. The quicker you need to forgive, because that's the thing that brings the healing. But if I know something very bad happened to somebody, I don't even want to talk to them about that, even though I want to, because I know if I do, it'll bring offense between, because you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand the hurt. You don't know what he did to me or she did to me. I do know. And I know the healing that he has for you is for forgiveness. But when we hear that, when we've been so offended, when we've been abused, when somebody has taken our innocence away before it was time, they took and robbed that from you. That's the type of forgiveness I'm talking about. That's the type of bushel, the basket that covers our light. Because it affects the way we interact with the world. It breeds offense and it breeds anger. And on a level, it's like it's justified. It's like, I do understand. He cheated on you. I understand why you're upset. What stops us? How people act around us. The longer you hold on forgiveness, the less you trust God with it. The more you believe you can handle it. And you can't. The more you've been hurt, the more you've been abused, the magnitude of what you faced, the greater that is, the quicker you need to forgive, even though it's the hardest thing to do, and it sounds offensive when people say it to you, because you almost feel like you have the right to be offended. Let's go to God's Word and see somebody who forgave on a great level, something very difficult to do so. In Genesis chapter 37, starting in verse 1, and we're going to go to verse 5 for the first part. I'm getting into God's Word because you need to hear it. That was heavy. It might get heavier, but we're going to get by it, and we're going to get lighter. Chapter 37, verse 1. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, where his father had traveled around, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Here's where it gets interesting. Here's what we're going to talk about. Joseph was 17 years of age, was pasturing flocks with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bela and the sons of Zelpah, and his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a variety-colored tunic. His brothers saw their father loved him more than all the other brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. They were jealous of him. Pure jealousy. And we know the dreams that he had, that they would, you know, like sheaves of wheat, they would bow down to him. He was in the center. They would all bow down to him. And there was the stars in the sky, and then the stars would bow down to him. These guys were jealous. And you almost can't, I mean, like when you see that they're jealous, it's almost like you can't, you know, like what if your mom and dad told you, you know, like, we really like him. You guys, I don't know, but we love him. Look, I want to give him everything. I'd be ticked too. What do you mean? But that's not the way with me, because I'm mama's baby child. I get on one level why they're upset. And this too, people may be upset with you guys and be jealous of you through what God is doing in your life. Because what Joseph was talking about, these dreams were not something he did. It was something God was doing in him. And there may be something God's doing in you that others see people or see you doing that they want, and they may be jealous of you as well. People that are great people, but they see what God is doing in your life and they want what he's doing. And they may not see you like others see you. They may be jealous of what God is doing in your life. See, being somebody that does something to somebody is not just outside of the church. It's inside of the church as well. And sometimes there's pastors who get mad at other pastors because they're doing something that they wish they could do. Or there's worship leaders and people who want to be worship leaders, or ministries and things like that. Things in the church that people are seeing other people doing and they're jealous of them. It can be in the church as well. It's not just on the outside. It's in here. And there have been times when I've had to ask for forgiveness. And there have been times when I need to give forgiveness for things that have been done to me. There it is. Moving on. If we can go to verse 18. This is what they did to him because they were so jealous of Joseph. Wow. I hope you guys are with me, man. It is almost 11:30 and I just started. I hope you guys, we got picnics and stuff. You guys will be good. Sorry about that. When they saw him from a distance and before he came close, they plotted against him to put him to death. We're so jealous of you, Joseph, that we're going to kill you. So they said to one another, here comes the dreamer. Now then, come, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And we will say, the wild beast devoured him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard this and rescued him out of their hands and said, let us not take his life. Reuben further said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into the pit that is in the wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him from their hands and restore him to his father. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic because they were upset about that thing, took it from him. Then they took him and threw him into the pit that was empty without any water in it. Then they sat down and ate a meal. And as they raised their hands and looked up, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Galeed, and their camels bearing aromatic gum, balm, and myrrh. And they were on their way to go down to Egypt. Judah said to his brother, well, why kill him and get nothing out of it? Why don't we make a profit? Why don't we sell him? So come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay hands on him. For he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. And some of the Midianite traders passed by, and they pulled up and lifted Joseph up out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. They were jealous of him. They wanted to kill him. So they sold him into slavery. And now we know Joseph's life in Egypt. He goes down there. He gets sold to Potiphar. He becomes awesome in his house, and he's in charge of all these things. His wife sees him. She likes Joseph. She says things about him. He gets put into prison. He's in prison. And that's not a good place to be. It's not like nowadays where you get three hots in a cot. This is prison. This is nasty stuff. This is where you're in the pit, literally in the pit. And then, as we turn to chapter 45 in Genesis, we know Joseph eventually gets out of the prison and he becomes... God makes him something. Could you imagine somebody, your own flesh, selling you into slavery, knowing what will happen? They may not know exactly what's going to happen to you, but they know that your life is going to be terrible. They hate you so much, they contemplated killing you. And then you've lived several years in a foreign land with people you didn't know, and you didn't know what was going to happen to you, Then you had to go to prison in an awful place. Unforgiveness leads to a bunch of things that are not good. Joseph faced some really awful situations in his life, and he could have rightly held it against his brothers. He could have said that rightly. We would understand. Your brother sold you. But when you are having unforgiveness in your life, at no matter what level, it leads to things, some dangerous things. It leads to anger and rage. These emotions turn into behaviors that you act upon. And even worse than that, once these behaviors become so entrenched in your mind, it becomes a mindset. So you can't help yourself but act this way because it's your mindset. It's a stronghold. And that stronghold is called victimhood. One of the worst things that can happen to you because of unforgiveness is you believe that you're a victim. You believe it with your whole heart. And not only that, you embrace the victimhood. You embrace it because it feels good. Why? Because if that person who offended you is in your life, even if they've asked for forgiveness but you don't give it to them, you can say, you've wronged me, and I'm going to hold this over your head forever because of what you've done to me. When you get to the place where you embrace your victimhood, that's who you become. It becomes your identity. And that's a dangerous place to be. Where victimhood becomes your identity. That is who I am. But in Christ Jesus, you are not the victim. It may be strong, and those words may be coming hard to you, but you are not a victim anymore. Once you come to Christ and got born again, you are no longer a victim. No longer a victim. You are an overcomer. Amen. You're an overcomer. That is who you are. Just like you are the light of the world, period. You are an overcomer, period. And even more so, it says that victory that we have in Him in Romans 8, verse 37, that we are overwhelmingly conquerors. Through who? Through Him who loved us. Why? Because He loves us. Not because we're anything great, because He loved us. So we are now victors in Him. We have no right to be victims anymore. We have the victory, period. You have the victory. But you may be saying, Caleb, you have no idea what I've gone through. You have no idea what she did to me. You embrace the victimhood. You identify as a victim. No more. God has freed you to identify as the victor. Chapter 45, verse 1. Joseph could literally have done this, but he says this. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. At this point, his brothers have come down. They were starving up in Canaan. They're come back down. Joseph sees them. He knows who they are. And he's like, man, and he keeps his brother. He sends them up. We know the story. They come back down. He says he could not control himself, who stood by him, and he cried. Have everyone come out from me, he said to his helpers. Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly, the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. I would be too. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said to them, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. He's identifying, I know who you are. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves. After all he's done and all he's gone through and all they put him through, he says to them, one of the first things is, do not be grieved and do not be angry with yourselves. For famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years which there will be neither planting or plowing or growing or harvesting. But here's the key verse. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth to keep you alive by great deliverance. This forgiveness reunited this family. This forgiveness saved a nation right here, because the nation of Israel was going to die because they were going to starve to death. But forgiveness put Joseph in the place to save a nation. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household to rule over the land of Egypt. When we don't forgive, it leads to victimhood. It leads to a lot of things. When we don't forgive, the person that hurt us makes us victim more than just the one time. It makes us a victim in the sense that if I let it, I can let that take me over so I can't affect the world for Christ. And it makes me a victim because I can't interact with you guys and I can't do what I'm supposed to do. And because I can't do what I'm supposed to do, it's going to hinder you and what God has got for you guys to do. And when I say this, I know you guys know that I do not take what happened in your lives lightly. I hope I've communicated that. I don't take it lightly. I know that some of you have gone through some terrible, terrible things that you would not wish on your worst enemy. And some of you, maybe even on internet right now, or whenever you watch this, you may have come through some vicious, terrible things. Forgiveness is for you. It's not just the gift that you give the one who offended you. It's for you. What forgiveness does not say, it does not say that you are okay with what they did to you. What it does not say is that you have to be around them anymore. It does not say that others will think it's okay what they did to you. And forgiveness is not something that could be done with just one time. Sometimes the hurt goes deep. You forgive. Then a couple weeks later, something happens that triggers something in your mind and it reminds you of something. You forgive again. And sometimes you may have forgiven, but there are steps that you have to take to get through something. Because yes, you've gone through a lot. It triggered, it damaged, it did damage to things that you can't see with the eye, but you can see in other people's spirits. It damaged their heart. It damaged their soul. It damaged things. And you need to be like, I forgive you. Now I am going to start the healing process by forgiving you. But I may need to walk through some things to get completeness and wholeness. He forgave them, got over his past. He looked at those who wronged him, and loved them again, and saved the nation. Forgiveness leads to freedom. It's the start of healing. And it's what you walk in. Forgiveness is for you. It frees you. It heals you. It heals your relationships. It's for your family. It heals the family. It has the potential to reunite. It has the potential for healing. And it gives you a testimony to show to the world. Forgiveness is for your church family because it gives you a voice. This is what I went through, and I'm going to help you get through it too. It gives you influence and a testimony, and it's for the community in the world. Because when you get free of this, you can go out to the world and tell them about Jesus. Because that calling on your life is on you, whether you've encountered other things or not. That is still on you. And he still expects you to go do it. What do you have to do in your life so you can go do it? Forgiveness. It frees our future to be on the path that God has for us. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Then in Colossians 3:13, it says, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should forgive. When you called upon his name to save you, he forgave you of everything you have ever done, you are doing, and you will ever do. It is completely forgiven. That's what the cross was all about. He says, it is finished. He says, I forgave you completely so you can forgive others completely. They may not even deserve it, but it's not really about them. It's about you. He wants us to forgive. Thank you, Jesus. He wants us to forgive. I was listening to a ministry this week, and this lady was talking about forgiveness for a very tough thing. And she studied the Bible, and she studied God's Word, and she came to this conclusion. God commands us to forgive, but he does not command us to be reconciled. Let that sink in. He asks you to forgive the person that has offended you, abused you, taken things away from you. He asks you, he commands you to forgive them. That is not an option. He does it for your good, because if you don't, it leads to very bad things. But when you do, it leads to healing and wholeness, so you can go out into the world and preach how good he is. But you're saying to me, Pastor Caleb, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. You know what? That's awesome. You know why? Because Jesus wants you to get to the point where you recognize that you can't. And he says, I can. Forgiveness. Jesus says, when you don't forgive, you're telling me that you don't trust me. When you do forgive, you're telling Jesus, God, I don't know what to do with that person. I don't know what to do with myself, but I know you do. I'm forgiving because you're doing it through me. I forgive them. And some of you may need to forgive yourself. I forgive me for what I have done. God is doing it in you, through you. He loves you. He's saying, when you forgive, you trust me. Today was a lot. I brought this up here. Because we here at Thrive want thriving homes. Why do we want thriving homes? Because we want to transform the cities. Why do we want to transform the cities? Because we want to transform our state. We want to transform our nation. We want to transform the world for Christ. We want to make him known, and we want him to people to come to his glory. Because he is so awesome and amazing, and you need to. How can we do this? Because when you get calling on Christ, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Don't let unforgiveness be the bushel that you put on your light that extinguishes it. Don't let that happen. Ask God, Help him, have him help you to forgive. And write down here, what is your next step? As Brian was saying earlier, Pastor Brian was saying earlier, we were doing things in this church where we're getting out in the community and we're doing things. When we ask people to take their next step here in Christ, we're not just talking about people getting born again and getting baptized, though that's a part of it. Everybody in this room has a next step. We're going from glory to glory. What does that mean for you? Where are you in God? Have you not even called on him? Or have you been saved for 20 years, but you're in the same spot because you're not moving on because you don't have a next step in mind? We're going. We're marching. It's not good enough to just go through the motions anymore. We're living in a time and an era where we can't do that. God has given us all a mission. What are we going to do for our next step to keep us growing from glory to glory? And in this next month, we're going to be giving you ministries that you can go through, things that you can do. Ask us pastors for a disciple. You're like, I've been in the faith for 5 years, but I've never had anybody disciple me before. We're here for discipleship. We're here to help you take your next steps in Christ, whatever that is. What's your next step? There was actually more I wanted to get to today, but it is actually 11:47, and that went longer. And the school kids are probably going cray-cray. Huh? Break? Oh, I'm trying to lip sync or read my wife's lips. It wasn't working right. If you guys could all stand, we're going to end this. As I was saying, this never ends. We're going from glory to glory in this church. We're going from glory to glory personally and in our family lives because we're going to take the nation to go from glory to glory. Father God, I just thank you to preach today about forgiveness. No, it's a heavy thing, but I pray that as I did so, Father God, people were thinking about somebody they need to forgive. It may be so obvious to them, but it may not, that they need to forgive them. And walk and start walking in healing, Father God. And may as they do that, God, just lay on them their next steps, whatever that is, and have them get a hold of us with their next steps. Because we as a church are going forward. We're impacting this community. We're impacting our world here at Thrive, Father God. And we're going to do that. And we want everybody in this room and everybody watching online to just walk that out with us as we impact the world for Christ.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.